All right, friends, we're going to talk about contaminating the world. Now, the word contaminate has really changed over the last 2.5 years, right? So when we think of contaminating something, I'm thinking of COVID-19, right? So I'm going to contaminate so-and-so because I have sickness or illness. But today we're going to be talking about contaminating the world with the love of God. The love of God. And so we're going to take a 1 week break from my next sermon series on the book of Ephesians and dive into the gospel text this morning, because I think it's an important one. And it's not part of my sermon notes here, but reading the epistle reading out of James, there's some good parallels, right, of what we are to do and not do. So let's pray, and then we'll dive right into it together. God, we ask as we proclaim your word, God, as I read from these notes, as I share with the congregation, God, that it's not my words, it's yours, God, that your word is proclaimed, because that's what's important, God, that there's no agenda, God, but pure growth in your holy word and our relationship with you. So God, be with me. Use my lips for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, so has anybody ever felt frustrated? Irritated? I have. Has anybody ever felt like, what's the point, right? Anybody been there? Raise your hand. What's the point, right? So what is the point? I've been there. I've been frustrated. And I've often in ministry asked God, you know, is it time, Lord? Is it time for me to wave the white flag? Or is it time to keep moving? And the Lord keeps kicking my butt and tells me to keep moving. So today, right, what is pointlessness? So last week, what do you guys remember me preaching about last week? Does anybody remember? Catchphrase, a title. Come on, somebody. All right, I'll give you a hint. It had to do with gardening, sowing and reaping, right? About planting good seed, right? I might have said a few words, colorful words during the message. We don't have to repeat those today. But we talked about sowing good seed in Dundalk, right? Good seed in our community. That's the point. That is why we're here. Everything that we do for the Lord is beneficial. That's the point. It's beneficial for our hearts, our souls, our mind, every time we plant good seed somewhere. And every time we engage with our community of believers here at First, we plant good seed among ourselves. And all these metaphors, I know, good seed, bad seed. That's how Jesus taught, right? He talked in parables for the people to understand. Now, I don't have a good history. Like, I don't know about steel working. I don't know about Bethlehem steel in the way that many of you do. If Jesus was here, he would probably use some parables from those places to help the congregation understand. Maybe I need a tour from somebody. So if anybody wants to give me a tour and help me understand those things, I'll include more in my sermons. But yeah, it's all rubble. Yeah, it's out, right? But the point here is Jesus used the words of the people to help them understand. So we have to plant good, viable seed in our hearts. And we're talking about contamination. And as you read through James, you know, I love James. You know, it's the book of the Bible. When I first knew that I needed a relationship with Jesus, I had been a religious person my whole life. Like, I grew up in the church. The blue-haired ladies with tennis shoes would pick me up, right, every Sunday and bring me to church. That's what we called them. You don't have blue hair. Every Sunday, and they were loving and caring, and they brought me up in the church, right? But I was a religious person. I was a religious person. And I remember sitting there at about 16, reading through the entire book of James. And I did that two or three times, right? Telling me exactly what I need to do. And it talks about not being polluted by the world in this verse. It talks about being planted where you are. It talks about that mouth of ours being the same. You know, we can't curse people with our lips and love Jesus, right? It has to be one person. And I'm going to skip ahead in my sermon if I keep it up. But the point here is, right, we are going to go through the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus this morning. He tells us that what comes out of a person is what contaminates them. And I love this. He is so clear, right? He says, it's from the inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual sins, thefts, murder, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, and foolishness. Foolishness, Jesus says. So today, we're going to explore the necessity of our lives, why we should earnestly invest in one another. We're a family, friends, right? We're a family. And this church, so it's what God's word is what matters in the text for us this morning. Verses 8 and 9, you ignore God's commandment while holding on to the rules created by humans handed down to you. And Jesus continued, clearly, you are experts at rejecting God's commandment in order to establish these rules. Wow, that hits. Jesus is confronting the Pharisees of his time for rejecting God's word for what they feel to be right. He is confronting Pharisees, religious leaders, because they have rejected God's holy word for their own tradition. Jesus is telling us this morning, it is God's word that matters and never changes. His word always stays the same. Amen? I believe it's not much different today than it was in the time of Christ, when religious leaders and people of God making things up as we go in order to feel righteous, right? And that's one thing I love about being Lutheran, is I don't have to compete for the righteousness club, right? We all know in our theology that we are a bunch of messed up sinners. We know it, we believe it, we understand it. And that is the gospel truth that we have to share in our tradition today. But we fall into that trap, friends. We fall into that trap of thinking we are righteous. But it is God and his holy word that must stay constant. We can come up with rituals and traditions and, yes, sacred cows, right? And sometimes those things are good and they edify the Lord. But sometimes the sacred cows have to be brought out to slaughter, right? Has anybody ever field dressed a deer? George, have you ever field dressed a deer? Look, we got one, right? Sometimes we have to slaughter the sacred cows. If you remember way back, maybe, I don't know, a year ago. I know not all my sermons are memorable, but we went to the mall, right? And there was that golden gummy bear, the golden giant gummy bear, that sacred golden gummy bear, right? Sometimes in the church, in life, in our Christian faith, we have that golden calf, right? We have that sacred cow that we have to slaughter. And the Pharisees this morning, that's what they needed to do. That's what Jesus was telling them, that they replaced God's law with their own, friends. They were finding loopholes to not follow the word of God. And as messed up as I know it sounds, It's happening in the American church, right? Where we have stopped following God's word. I mean, just look at it. We're a result of that 20 years ago or 10 years ago. I had that conversation this week about this church. Well, when did you guys split? Blah, 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 right? There's all these Lutheran churches in town. And people are always wondering, well, you guys aren't really the same, but you are. I don't understand. And so then I have to go through this whole conversation of who we are. And as Colin, he's not here today, so I could talk about him. as he always says, we're in the National League, right? And there's a regional league and all this stuff. So as the NALC is trying to follow the Word of God, we had to do what we had to do, and I'm grateful for it. But we have to find the middle ground, too. We have to be able to work with one another, right? To love one another, to embrace tradition, but not because it trumps the Bible, not because it oversteps Scripture, because when it does, that's a problem. Because why? We are what we think and what we do. We are what we think and what we do. Verses 14 to 15 and verse 23 this morning. And then Jesus called the crowd again and said, listen to me, all of you, and understand, nothing outside of a person can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, the things that come out of a person contaminate the person. All the evil things come from inside and contaminate yourself in God's sight. In these next verses, Jesus tells the crowd that food nor anything that enters the body can contaminate a person. Again, it is what comes from the heart. Now, this is not an excuse for any of us, me included now, to not follow our diets, right? Like, we can't just eat whatever we want. So Millie drew a skull and crossbones on my diet Dr. Pepper because I'm trying to drink the diet now. It's not an excuse for me to get whatever I want to eat and eat it. No. It tells me that it's my heart. It's what we think. It's what we say. It's who we're around. But it's impossible. It's impossible, friends, to be one person at church. No, no, this is probably me preaching to the choir here. You can't be another person at church, another person at home, and another person at work. We do not have multi-personality Christianity disorder, right? So we have all these different faces and masks that we put on no matter where we are. And you know what? I love that about, there are certain people in this church that you just know where they stand 100% of the time. They are not afraid to tell you what they think. Actually, I think that's the most of us, right? That is a Dundalk trait, that we are not afraid to tell people where we stand because we don't have multi-personality Christianity disorder, right? We know where we are. We know that through our actions and our deeds, where we are in our relationship with Christ. Now, again, I'm not telling you, as a believer of Jesus, that you can't slip and say a curse word once in a while, because I'm guilty too. Again, that's why we're Lutherans. We get the joy of doing all those things and knowing we're sinners and we can go before Jesus and ask for forgiveness, right? I don't have to be 100% righteous all the time. I'm not sanctified. I'm not a perfect human being. But I try to do better and better every day. Right? I try to love people more and more every day, no matter if they love me or not. No matter if they're the meanest person that I know, I try to love them. I try to have kingdom influence. So now we're going to get to the sermon title here, to contaminate the world, right? We don't want the world to contaminate us. James tells us, right? To be separate from the world, to not be a part of the world. So when you're with your friends and you're with your family, it is time for you to spread the germs of Christianity, right? that spread the germs of God's love to them. Every single time, they know by the way you treat them that you believe in Jesus, friends. They know by your compassion, by your love, by your mercy, the way you treat your children, right? Now, again, I have to admit, even my own son right now, if he needs a spanking, well, sometimes that's me showing God's love right there, right? Sometimes the Lord needs to spank us, needs to punish us, needs to correct us because we need it. Good parents do that, in my opinion. You know, we have to, in our actions and words, change our life and change the world around us. So I'm asking you this morning, what are some areas of your life that you need some spiritual renewal, that you know you need to go before Jesus and you need to work on something? All of us have at least one or two areas in our life. And again, I don't care. You know, you could be 1 year old or 99 years old, right? All of us in this church have one area of our faith that we can work on, be that our prayer life, our spiritual life, right? Our church life, whatever it may be. What are those areas? What are some areas that you need Christian accountability? So look around you. Everybody look around you this morning. All right, these are your friends and your family members, okay? So when you have an area in your life you need to work on, look to them. Have them help you. That's why we're here. We're here on the same journey together. That's why we're a family. Some of us are at different stages of our faith. That's okay. That's what it's all about. Again, we're never too young for a life change, and we're never too old to retire from our faith, because it's our heart that matters. Verse 20 to 22. It's what comes out of a person that contaminates someone in God's sight, he said. It's from inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual sins, thefts, murders, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, and foolishness. Now, I know if we look at that list, all of us at some point in our life have committed at least one of those, right? I mean, I know there's been times in my life that I have certainly been foolish, right? Anybody been foolish before? All right. You know, anybody, let's see, what's arrogance, right? Thinking that you know better than anybody else, right? All of these. Has anybody ever insulted anybody? We don't have to raise our hand. Insulting people, right, is a thing that we need to work on as the Lord. Now, I have to tell you, I don't mean every time I drive I'm a jerk, but every time I see a New Jersey plate, they are just not very nice people. They just cut me off. They really are not. Oh, my goodness. I'd rather drive in Maryland over New Jersey, I'm telling you. So these are things that we have to work on. It's our life. We're imperfect, but it's that heart. It's that heart that should be filled with beauty and compassion. We have to be careful of our heart. The heart can cause a lot of damage too. You know, so let's go back through history a little bit here. So we know who Adolf Hitler was. We know that he believed that Jews were subhuman, and we know what the end results were. That came from his heart. He had an evil heart. I don't know why his heart became so evil. We look at the Taliban and ISIS in Afghanistan, right? And we look at these murders this past week. It's an issue of the heart. I watched an interview where they had this special unit, I guess, of like elite fighters for the Taliban now. And they were saying they have to be willing to die. They have to be willing to be martyrs of the faith. It's a heart issue. We look at those on death row. On death row. At some point, their heart turned for whatever reason. It's our job as believers to help clean the hearts of people, I believe. I mean, it's ultimately up to the Holy Spirit. Yes. The Holy Spirit does the hard lifting and hard work. But we have a role to play. We have a role to play. See, in the positivity, though, right? Again, beauty, compassion, forgiveness, love. We contaminate the world with good and not evil. That's the role of the church. And again, as we see churches that are closing, as we see the Christian movement in America dwindling, we have to regain our focus, I think more than ever. Our focus is primary to share Jesus with the world, right? And then Jesus tells us how to do that. All these things, all these attributes I'm telling you this morning, love, compassion, beauty, forgiveness, right? And we start with doing that for each other. And then we share that. Friends, we have a really good church. We do. We've been through some stuff together. I get it. But I look out at the congregation now, and we have a wonderful family together. We really do. You guys are great. This service, the 11 o'clock service, everyone in our church, I think, has a genuine love for each other. I do. As I was talking to one of the guys at Deuterock, he was saying that this is one of two churches now that do funeral luncheons left in the community, and how much that meant to him and them as a whole, as a company. That our church still has that compassion within us, that so many have discontinued that. Now, that is a testimony. That is somebody from the community that is speaking goodwill into the church for something that we do. And it may not seem like it's a huge deal. Maybe it is. I have never put on a luncheon. I don't know what's all involved, but I'm telling you, it doesn't go unnoticed. There are lots of things that we do as a church that may seem small, but are great, that mean a lot to people. So I want you to be that church. I want us to be that church. We have had, last Sunday was just incredible. It warmed my heart to see all those kids up here in the front, to see people out, the kids on the water slide, and I got on the water slide. I couldn't get any other. Amanda joined me. No other adults would join me. I tried to get Millie, you know. It's been great. I have seen so much love in the last couple months in this church. So I want us to continue that, to continue that compassion for the world. As we continue to see new folks in here, I don't want us to take a hint from the Pharisees, right? I don't want us to be stuck in legalism. I don't want us to be stuck in, well, that's the way we've always done it, right? I don't want to get into a soapbox this morning. That's not the point. The point here is when folks come in, when you see someone in need, love on them. Don't look down on them, and maybe none of you would. But love on them. Show them that who Jesus is. I know we're getting very close, very close to getting that food pantry done next door. And you're going to see some folks that really have need. And some of them may be within our own church family. I want you to love on them. I want you guys to volunteer over there with Kevin and whoever else is leading that ministry, because you're going to see some faces you probably haven't seen. And you guys are the front and center of God's love for the world. And so forth. And the luncheon ministry. Continue to do that. What are some other ministries of the church that you guys have done in the past? The card ministry. The bazaar. Crosses. Mary. Vacation Bible School. Yes. What is it? Feed my sheep. No, what did you guys do for that? Feed my sheep. Yes.
James just comes up with something inspirational. And we hand that out. And Macy is in charge of the order of the apron and the oven.
Order the apron and the oven.
Yes. And she makes cake.
Yes. And isn't that exactly, though, exactly what the verses tell us to do today, to take care of the orphans and the widows? Anything else? Huh? Mission meals, yes, for downtown Baltimore. Yes. It is a ministry of our church, 100%. Jane. Prayer warriors. Anything else? I think it's important we vocalize all these ministries so we know what's going on. Sunday school. We have a lot of folks, they don't come to church, but they come to Sunday school. We've got to work on that together. But they're here. They're learning about God. They're building relationships with our church. Amen. And I want to build more ministries. So if you have an idea of something, let's bring it and do it. I wish we had more men that could do like handyman stuff other than just John here and Roddy, because I've seen churches do like ministries to help. And you guys, I think, used to do this, build ramps for people and all that kind of stuff. Yes, Jane. We do. Where we pray. We're going to pray at the end service.
Yeah.
Amen. That's great. That's great. That's where it starts. Pillowcases. Now, we had a man in my home church that started taking Walmart bags, and he quilted those, I don't know how that all works, into sleeping mats for the homeless. And he's given out thousands and thousands of these things now. So I don't know. Maybe that's something we want to do. Everybody goes to Walmart, I think, so, or gets a plastic bag, you know. But, yeah, let's continue, guys. That's what I'm talking about today. All of those ministries matter in the eyes of the Lord. We are doing a lot. We can do more. And let's continue to love each other and love the Lord. Let us pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for this incredible group of people that love you, that love each other, that want to show your love to this community. God, we thank you for all these ministries that have been mentioned, God, that we are actively involved in. And God, as we seek your will, God, may we do even more. May we find what the needs are of this community, that we can provide them, that we can be the church, the light on the hill in the darkness. God, I love being a part of this, and God, you sustain us. Give us hope, give us a direction for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.